There's pigs everywhere. Children, you're dismissed to children's church. If you have a mustache or a driver's license, they're going to check at the door. If you got them, we ain't going to let you in. Be much in prayer for the Jones family again, because and the Buck family, doing a funeral today for Tommy Buck, and that's both of her boys now. Jeannie Buck's Jeannie Jones, both of her boys now have gone on. And I know that's got to be hard, so please remember her in prayer, and the Buck family, and the Jones family. Have you ever had one of those times where you just felt like, you know, this is the second part of Blessings of the Unexpected Cross, but I thought to lead in, I would tell this little story. A little boy went to a grocery store and asked the clerk for a box of Dove's detergent. Remember Dove's? How many remember Dove's? How many Dove's remember? How many Dove's remember Dove's? Yeah, the clerk said, "What do you want detergent for?" The little boy replied, "I want to wash my dog." The clerk said, "Well, son, the Dove's detergent is pretty strong for washing a little dog." The little boy said, "But that's what I want." The clerk said, "Well, okay, if you're sure, but you need to be careful when you wash your dog in it. The Dove's detergent is very strong. It may kill him." The little boy shook his head and said, "I don't think that so may kill him." So about a week later, the little boy came into the store, and the clerk recognized him and said, "Son, how's your dog?" The little boy said, "He's dead." The clerk replied, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I told you that Dove's detergent was awful strong and it might kill him." The little boy shook his head and said, "I don't think it was the Dove's detergent that killed him. I think it was the rent cycle that got him." let me ask you a question. Have you felt like you've been through the rent cycle? You know, the rent cycle beats all the soap off of you. You know, God's cleaning you up. He's doing a good job with you. And all of a sudden, you feel like you're just being beat to death. You have a heavy heart. You feel as though, you know, you say, what else could happen? What more could happen? And you find out, you think, well, I shouldn't have said that because that was a challenge. Amen. Because just by the time I said, what more could happen? More happened. Amen. And so we got to remember, all of us, we go through the rent cycle in life, but God's got us. Amen. God's got us. So we're going to talk about the blessings of the unexpected cross. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. I read out of the real Bible today. That's what my daddy said. Remember, my daddy told me, I said, Daddy, I need to read you this verse. And I had it in my phone, and so I looked it up because I got a bunch of Bibles on my phone. I looked it up, and Daddy said, "That's not a real Bible." I said, "Daddy, that is just as real as any Bible you ever see. Matter of fact, I got about 50 versions in my phone." He said, "It's still not a real Bible." I said, "Why is it not a real Bible, Daddy?" He said, "Because it doesn't have leather on it." I said, "Well, I had a leather case on my Bible. I mean, I had a leather case on my phone. Does that count?" "No." So Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, stand for the reading of the word. We read a bunch of verses last week, and I'm just going to read just two today, 26 and 33. You got your Bible, say amen. Luke 22, verse 26. "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he may bear it after Jesus." Verse 33, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for all you do for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're all in all. God, we can't do anything without you, Lord. But, Father, with you, we can do anything that we need to get done. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us, God, see the need of this hour. Help us, God, see, Lord, that the need is great, Lord, and that a lot of folks have not only just lost their way, they've lost the want to. And Father, I ask you, God, to give us a fresh dose of want to and help us go out and help others get that fresh dose of want to. Lord, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And all things that we do it through you and by you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, you can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody this, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lamb of God. God is good. All the time. Isn't it awesome to serve a living God, a powerful God, one that is alive and on the throne and taking care of business? Well, now you remember now, if somebody was going to carry a cross, there's two things going on here. I just wanted to give you a little update on the cross because I know I tell you this all the time, but some of you may not have heard this. There was two types of capital punishment back in that day, and that was scourging. And some people actually lived through it. Not many, but some did. And they would be deformed the rest of their life because the beating was so severe, but and scarred. But there was the scourging, and then there was the crucifixion. Nobody came out of the crucifixion; they all died. It was 100% death rate for the crucifixion. And so Jesus, he has Pilate trying to keep from crucifying him. He scourged him, and so they said, "No, we want to crucify him. We don't want to give him a chance to keep getting around here, even though he's scarred. We don't want him around us." And so scars and all, take him out of here, just kill him, get him out of our hair. And so they took him. Now, to carry that cross, just to give a little update, it didn't say where Simon the Cyrene, except for it was at the gates of the city, only where he came in at, where what part of it was, but the cross, to tote the cross, you toted the cross 7 miles. The reason you toted the cross 7 miles is you had to go up and down every street of Jerusalem, and before you was somebody showing your crime. And that crime was taken and put on the crop of the cross so that people know why you're dying. And so this is going on. So Jesus has towed that cross for 7 miles. So it's a long ways. He's already been scourged. The other guys, they haven't been scourged. And so, but Jesus has, because Jesus got a double capital punishment. And so here's Jesus. He can hardly bear up under the load. His love for us kept him going. He could have just spoke the words and angels would have come and taken it for him. But he did not. He kept his mouth shut. He said he was dumb like the lamb before the shears. And so he takes this cross 7 miles. And taking this cross 7 miles after already being beat to the point of death. Already to the point of death, he's carrying this cross. And so along the way, he keeps falling under the load. And so they see Simon of Cyrene. Somewhere in this journey, Simon of Cyrene winds up helping him. They take him and pull him out, and he takes the cross. We don't know whether he took it a mile, whether he took it 3 miles, not sure. But this is not some little thing where he just picked it up, put it on his shoulder, and took it on. This is some heavy-duty stuff. Death was all around what he was doing. Now, with all this going on, I want you to understand that I'm going to go back through some slides from last week because I just want to bring some continuity here. If not last week, but the week before, because last week, we had a whole different program going on. Amen. So here we go. Simon of Cyrene, this man here, he was compelled, meaning that they took him. Well, by royal proclamation of the centurion, he was taken and he was compelled. He didn't volunteer. Get this, he did not volunteer to get in this. Can I say it one more time? He did not volunteer to get in this. The reason being is because there was so much intertwined here. There was the religion intertwined, the state intertwined, the kingdom. All this was going on. And so they call him and say, "You carry his cross." Not wanting to get into it, the soldiers actually had to grab him and push him to Jesus to get under that cross. Now, I want you to think about all what I'm saying right now, because some of y'all in here right now, you're carrying an unexpected cross. You didn't want to get into it. You want to have nothing to do with it. The state's in it. Religion's in it. People's personal business is in it. There's all kinds of stuff. You did not want to get involved in it. You said, "Let me stay away as far as I can." But God wouldn't let you. God said, "I raised you up for this hour." And so you wind up getting pushed under this cross. And you're saying, "God, why me?" Watch what happens with Simon of Cyrene. And I believe before we leave this day, you won't be saying, "God, why me?" anymore. Amen. So let's just go ahead a little bit further. Here's his cross. First, it was unexpected because it interrupted his routine. He came from an area in Africa. He already had a long trip. He come along once a year to do his sacrifice because he was a Jew, that he was going to do a sacrifice at the temple like everybody was required to do. And so his cross was unexpected. He didn't know he was going to get it. So it was powerful because it made a difference. And here's the four things it did. This is what I told you last week. This is where we stopped. But here it was. It brought him into the presence of Jesus. I want you to think about this now. If you weren't here, especially, I want you to think about this. If you were here, here's your chance to think about it again. It brought him into the presence of Jesus. Your cross that you're bearing, that you don't want to bear, that you didn't expect to bear, it brings you into the presence of Jesus. He was so close, he could hear his voice whisper in his ear. Jesus was to the point of death already. Jesus could not do much more than a whisper, but he could hear Jesus' voice. It made him follow in the footsteps of the Savior. You're no more like Jesus than when you're carrying somebody else's cross. Amen? And it made him a part of the greatest work in the world, and it changed his family forever. And this is what we're going to talk about today, mainly the change in his family. But I want you to see this now. This is some awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. So not only was it unexpected and powerful, but it was productive because it carried the message. And here's the message. Here's actually where we stopped last week, and here it was. The first thing about the cross I want you to think about, it's unexpected. You're not expecting it. You don't know how far. Look. We don't know how far he carried it. I would dare to say he carried it at least a couple of miles. Okay? At least a couple of miles. So here he is. He's coming here to celebrate. He's coming here to have his yearly deal with God. He's not coming here to do this. He's coming here to celebrate. And instead, he gets thrown under the cross. Some of y'all in here right now, there's things you're going through, and you're thinking, God, I didn't sign up for this. Matter of fact, I was trying to serve you with gladness. I thought everything was hunky-dory. I thought we were like that, God. And now somebody has shoved me under somebody else's cross. And it hurts. Wow. That's powerful. Amen? So look, when you get shoved under that cross, instead of trying to keep saying, wow, I want you to remember some things. Number one, Jesus carried that cross first. Amen? He carried the cross. He's the first one. He had it. Before Simon was ever involved, Jesus had already taken up this cross. Isaiah 53. 3 and 4. Jesus was a man of sorrows. He bore our griefs and carried our sins. He did this stuff for us. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has taken you. And that word taken means literally to seize or to remove by force. None of this stuff has taken you. When we think about temptation, we think about a lollipop. When we think about temptation, we're thinking about some kind of addiction. I want you to think about temptation in a whole different way right now. Because when you get shoved under somebody else's cross, the temptation is to quit. When you get shoved under somebody else's cross, the temptation is to complain. When you get shoved, taken, removed out of the normal, the temptation is to say, God, why are you doing this? If this is the way you're going to do it, I'm through with it. Not knowing that it's happening to people all around you. Matter of fact, you may think you're the only one carrying that cross in whatever group you're in, not knowing that many in that same group are carrying crosses too and not saying a word about it. So watch this now. Watch this. So he carried the cross first. Whatever happens to you, he's already been there. The Bible tells us that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, the times that we are taken and thrust under somebody else's cross. He's been there. He knows what it's about. He can be touched. And I thank God that he can be touched. Amen. So number one, remember this. When you're thrust under that, when you're shoved under that cross that you did not expect. How many can relate to that right now? Hands should go up everywhere. Amen. All right. So when you're shoved under that cross, watch this. First, Jesus carried it first. Number two, what you think about this. Jesus shares the load of your cross. You ain't got to take it by yourself. If he calls you to a service like this, then he's going to bring you what you need. I was talking with the father yesterday, and as I was talking to the father, Tommy's father, he said, "Man, this is tough." He said, "First one, I had two sons. First, the one shot right down here. Remember that a few 4 years ago?" And he said, "Now this son here," he said, "both my sons are gone." He said, "This is something. It's hard to bear." And I said, "You know what?" I said, "The Lord taught me a very valuable lesson, because within a couple of years, I lost my mom and I lost my wife." And so I watched this go through. And what I discovered was I never knew the level of God's comfort until I needed it. Some of y'all have never felt the level of God's comfort that the person beside you has felt. And you look at them and go, "How can you be so calm?" It's because they felt a different level of comfort than you felt before. But don't worry, you'll feel it too, eventually. Because the greater the pain, the greater the comfort. And the greater the draw on God, the greater. Because the Bible says where sin abound, grace did much more abound. It superabounded. And I found, when my mama died, I found a grace that I had never even seen before, a comfort I'd never even known before. And that helped me when it come time for my first wife to die, because there again, I felt something that I had never felt before, a different level. And since then, there's been a lot of times different things have happened back and forth and different activities have gone on in my life. But again, it always prepared me for the next level, that different level of grace that you feel. Right? So now look, tradition tells us and history tells us that Jesus and Simon carried it in tandem. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 says, "We are partakers in his suffering. Therefore, we are to rejoice." 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 tells us we are laborers together with him. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Well, if this is easy and this is light, I'd hate to see the heavy stuff. Watch your child die. Watch your wife die. Watch your husband die. Watch your dreams fall apart. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, it's all in context. It's all in how you take it. It's all in how you see it. Because you got to remember something. Jesus is sharing that load with you. Can you imagine what the load would feel like without him? Like the mouse and the elephant were walking over the bridge, and the bridge went boom, boom, boom. The bridge was shaking. When they got to the other end, the mouse said, "We sure shook that bridge, didn't we?" That mouse didn't shake that bridge. The elephant did. Amen. So remember, God's there. No matter what goes on, God's there. And this morning, I sent the mighty army this morning was, don't let your future be ruled by your fear. Or don't let your fear affect your future. See, fear would paralyze us if it was not for his help. I love this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And it's amazing that it came to me this morning on a text. I love it. Jeremiah 22, or 29:11, where I'm giving you a hope. And an expected end. Let me read this. I want to read this to you in a different version. I love this. In the Amplified, it says, "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." But the message, I just love the message. And I got to write a paper about the message in just a few hours. Amen. Listen to this. This is the message version of Jeremiah 29:11. "I know what I'm doing." This is God talking to me. "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for." Wow. Can't you imagine sitting there with you in your dad's lap and he goes, "I know what I'm doing, son. I know what I'm doing, daughter. I got this. I got it all figured out for you. If you just hold on, you're going to see something special." Amen? So now again, Matthew 28 and 20. "I will be with you always, even to the end of this world," or the end of this age. Amen? So he's with us. Jesus shares the load. Now, here comes the hard part. You say, "Wait a minute. Ain't none of it been easy." Well, we're getting ready to get harder. Amen? Not only does Jesus share the load of the cross, but also, I want you to remember this, Jesus prepares us to carry the cross. Jesus don't pull you out of the crowd and throw you under the cross and go, "There you go." You know, my daddy, how many ever had driving lessons, bicycle lessons like this? I get a bicycle when I'm 5, 6 years old. My daddy sticks me on it Christmas morning. He just painted that thing. He went and bought a neighbor's bike, painted it up, put a light on the front of it, all kinds of stuff. And he gets me on this bike and he says, son, we're going to have our first lesson. I said, okay, Dad, how are we going to do this? He said, just climb on. I'll show you. I climbed on and I felt it going back. And I said, this ain't right. And then Daddy went, go, son. Not only had I never had training wheels, I'd never been on a bicycle. I looked like Scooby-Doo trying to ride a unicycle. And the only thing I found to stop me was a pine tree. So the very first day, the very first ride, I messed up my light on the front. My brothers come along. They'd already helped them on my bike. My sister come along. All three brothers helped my sister. We wore out three pairs of shoes, teaching her how to ride. God, and then Daddy said, I'm going to teach you how to swim. I knew something was up when I started going backwards. Somehow or another, they didn't teach me how to swim. That taught me how to drown. Daddy, you've taught me how to drown, not teaching me how to swim. God doesn't do that to us. When you're cross, when he puts you under that cross, he has already prepared you, believe it or not. But here it is. A lot of times you haven't tried. You didn't know that you were being prepared. You didn't even realize that you had it in you. I've heard people all the time go, I look at him and say, I didn't know you had it in you. You go, I didn't either. But then you go back and look backwards and you see God was preparing you all along the way. Because like here's Simon. Now the Simon here, Simon is a rich man. Simon is a prominent man. Where he come from, he was the man. But now the man, the prominent man, the rich man is shoved under the cross. Listen, why didn't they pick a Roman soldier? See, I can tell you why they didn't pick a Roman soldier. Number one, this was a religious problem. Amen? This was religion. None of that, but the Romans didn't want to have anything to do with it. Pilate was trying to get out of it. And so here's Pilate trying to avoid it, washing his hands of the whole thing. So look, he's already up to his neck. The Romans are. They're in it too deep. They didn't want to do it to start with. The religious folks wanted Jesus dead. So then, why not one of his trusted disciples? Have you ever got up on somebody's cross and go, why didn't the son do it? Why didn't the daughter do it? Why didn't mom do it? Why didn't dad do it? Why didn't their best friend do it? Why am I under this cross? Well, why not a disciple? You see, they were all scattered. All scattered. They're all running. They're scared for their life. And so here comes Simon. Some of y'all in here right now, you're carrying somebody's cross. You're wondering, why am I doing this? Why am I helping? Why have I got a cross on my back? This cross, somebody else should be taking it. Their children should be doing it. Their dad, their boss man, their business, they should be doing it. Why am I doing it? Because God specifically planned this cross for you. It's unexpected to you. It's not unexpected to him. And God knew that it would not have the same impact if it was daddy, if it was mama, if it was sister, if it was brother, if it was the boss man. He wanted this impact to go a lot farther than you ever could imagine. So watch this now. Look, Jesus prepares us. He prepares us to carry our cross. Every hardship you've ever been through, you say, I don't like these hardships. Well, you know what? God takes all your hardships. It says all things. It didn't say all things are good. It said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. They work together. God takes the good, the bad, the ugly, and he works it together. And then 1 Samuel, God has a plan, 1 Samuel 17. Before, watch this now. Before David ever stood before Goliath, he handled the lion and he handled the bear. And when David stood before Goliath, and Goliath says, who are you? What's your credentials? Saul even said, what's your credentials? He said, I stood before the lion and I stood before the bear and I took him down. Goliath is no more than they are. If he hadn't already had the lion and the bear, he would not have been ready for Goliath. Some of y'all in here now, you've been fighting alligators all week, and wondering, why in the world have I had to fight these alligators? Not realizing that God was fixing to put you under somebody's cross. Wow. It's powerful stuff. Powerful, powerful. So look, not only Jesus prepped them, preps us for our cross, also Jesus does this. Come on here. A little further. Praise God. Jesus has a purpose and a destiny for your cross. God does nothing without a plan. God does nothing without a plan. You see, here he is. Remember the movie The Passion? There he is. He's carrying his cross. There is a destined place to lay down that cross. You won't carry this cross one inch further than Calvary. That's a promise. There's going to come a day when you lay this cross down. And when you lay it down, you're going to lay it down. Just look, no further than Calvary. And there's a crown to obtain on the other side of this cross. Isn't it awesome? God is so, so awesome. You know, some of y'all in here thinking, is it ever going to stop? Is there ever going to be a time when I can rest? Is there ever going to be a time when I can breathe again? You know, when I get calls from the funeral home, I see it. And of course, I had, just to make things a little lighter, when Paul Funeral Homes calls, my phone goes with the chipmunks. So you had a bad day. Da, 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 da. And when Hillside calls us, da, 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 da. When I hear that, the first thing I say is, you better be calling me to offer me some lunch. And he said, well, we got some barbecue. Guess what Paul said? I said, no, I don't want your barbecue. Anybody see frying green tomatoes? You don't want the barbecue at the funeral home. And I think all these years I've only told them no one time, and that's because I had to be out of town and I could not be there. And it was just something, they called me for other people too. And they called me for some other person one time and I was having to be out of town. I said, I'm sorry, if y'all can rearrange it, I'll go, but I can't go because I'll be out of town that day. Do it the next day or the other day, I'll do it. Sometimes they change it, sometimes they can't. One time they couldn't. But the reason I never turn them down is because no matter how bad a day I'm having, when they call me, somebody's having the worst day. And so I gladly shoulder that cross. Even though I don't know them, I shoulder that cross. Because I know that they're going through something they really wouldn't be going through. You see, so watch this. You're not going to carry it one inch further than Calvary. And every cross you carry is going to add to your crown. I remember this too now. Watch. This is so awesome. You were never intended to carry the cross for eternity. There's going to be a place you pick it up. There's going to be a place you put it down. You don't have to carry it any further than where God has destined you to take it. Now let me just do a few things here, and then we're getting ready to close. Y'all guys, get ready. Get ready. I'm talking to the musicians now. Y'all can get ready. God uses our cross as an example. Now let me just show you something here. Turn your Bible to Acts 13. Acts 13. Somebody took Acts out of my Bible. There it is. Acts 13. At the time that a woman had called the law, God was breaking in her house. She had called the law. And the man sitting there shaking. And they come in and they arrest him. He says, please take me. And they took him. And he says, why'd you turn yourself over to this old lady? And she said, because when I walked in, she turned in on the light and she hollered. She was just quoting a Bible verse. But she just hollered Acts 2:38. He thought she said she had an axe and 2:38. He was getting ready to die. Come arrest me, please. Now, there were in the church there at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, they were called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which is called, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, I want you to stop right. Look at Cyrene. I want you to see something. Watch this. This man, Simon, was so affected by what he did for Jesus that day. He was so affected by what happened to Jesus that day. Come on, buddy. You can do it. There you go. Watch this. He went from respect, from resentment to responsibility. That's him. Now watch this. Watch. Simon's wife was affected. Amen? She became a mother of the church. Romans 16:13. Paul says, greet Rufus and greet Rufus's mother and mine. Rufus was the son of Simon. Watch this. Look at all this. Look how it just keeps going and how this isn't going. There you go. This morning, the batteries went dead on. I'm not sure if we put good batteries in there or not. Well, obviously, they're not good batteries. Amen. You know, stuff never goes bad till you get ready to use it. And you got batteries everywhere until you need them. Amen. Okay. Alexander and Rufus, Mark 15:21. They are the sons of Simon of Cyrene. Their names were not mentioned in the Bible unless they're well known. So they became pillars of the church. Romans 16:13, it says again, greet Rufus and his mother and mine. Watch this. Rufus became the bishop of Spain. Isn't that cool? Look at all this line of stuff going on. Simon of Cyrene come just to celebrate God. He gets thrown under a cross. But that cross changed his life forever. It changed his wife. It changed his sons. Alexander, his other son, was martyred for Jesus. Wow. You may be under a cross right now. And honestly, I can start naming all things. You go, yeah, that's a cross. Sure, I'm under that one. I'm under that one. Yes, I'm under that one. My challenge to you today is to not get resentful while you bear up under that load. My challenge to you today is not only not get resentful, look to what it's going to do in the future. Right now it hurts. Right now you got blood on you. Right now you got tears on you. Right now your shoulder's hurting. Right now you got pain that you had never even known you could even have. But it's okay. It's okay. Come on, fellas. It's okay. It's okay. That cross hurts. You see, I didn't expect this. I did not expect that I was going to have to do this. I did not expect this was going to happen. They took a poll and went through the 100 greatest leaders in the world through history. That would include John F. Kennedy, and that would include Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and all those guys and from other countries. The 100 greatest leaders in the world of all time. And 80% of the greatest leaders of all time had an unexpected cross thrust upon them. God is so awesome. God is so awesome. God is so awesome. Trust Him. Trust Him. trust Him right now. Everybody, please stand. Maybe you're here right now. And as I was talking, you began to think about situations that you're in. And you're wondering why you're in that situation. Why you're having to put up with this. Or why you're having to do this. Or why you're called into this situation. If you can change your perspective and realize that God carried your cross first. Number two, He's carrying it with you. Number three, He prepared you for this. Number four, it has a destiny. You're going to pick it up. You're also going to put it down. And number five, it's going to leave an example. People are going to see what you do and they're going to live that life like you did. None of this is in vain. None of this is in vain. None of it. God's got this. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. I'm going to ask this question. I just felt this question, and I felt it needed to be asked. I just felt like the Spirit was telling me to ask this question. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, because I know not everybody will come to the altar. So I'm going to ask this question. Are you here this morning? I want you to just pick up your hand. Nobody will see it but me. I want you to tell me if you're sitting here this morning and you've been thrust under a cross that you never thought you'd have to take. Maybe you're taking it for somebody else. And it hurts. And it may even cause some resentment. And you didn't want to get under the cross, but you were thrown under that cross. You didn't have any choice. If I'm speaking to you right now, while nobody else is looking around, I just want to pray with you. I understand. I've got many crosses myself. I understand. But I also know that God's got this. If I'm speaking to you right now, you got one of those crosses you were thrust under, maybe more than one, and you're wanting God to help you with it. Would you raise that hand? Father, hands went up everywhere. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to bring strength, to bring encouragement, and to bring hope. And the biggest hope is to know that you carried it first. And you're carrying it with us. You're sharing the load. And you're prepping us to carry this before it ever came. You were prepping us for it. There is a destiny. We're going to lay it down one day. And then it's going to set an awesome example for somebody that's watching us. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us. To help us feel your power over the pain. Help us to feel the power over the resentment. Help us feel the praise build up inside of us as we praise you that you trusted us enough to get up under that cross. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless them right now in a very powerful way, and I thank you for it. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can know Him now. If you knew Him, but maybe you got under that cross and it drove you away from God because you didn't realize the importance, you got resentful and you let go, today's your day. If you got a need of anything, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. If you have a need of anything, I invite you to this altar. It's just after 11:30. You got plenty of time to pray. You have a need from God, I invite you to come walk up this way. Whatever that need may be, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. Thank you, Lord. 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 I thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You've got us. You've got us.
And I pray that this young man goes to Rocky Mount and then to Greenville. He needs a job. He's had cancer. He's going to chemotherapy. He needs a deposit for a place to stay. And he's out of energy. His face still feels.
Okay.
And we pray tears just roll down his eyes. Okay. Working on him.
Let's pray. Lord, touch him right now. God is awesome. I want you to do something. Get ready. We're going to say a special prayer. I haven't lost my mind. Well, I have, but that's different. A whole different story. I haven't lost it. Get ready. Y'all repeat after me. Lord, I thank you for the unexpected cross, because I realize it is a gift from you to take me to a higher awareness of your presence. And I thank you for it. Because if out this cross, I would have never known the comfort I feel and the level that I feel now. Just worshiping, church. Worshiping. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. We're all together lovely, doing good, together lovely, all together wonderful to thee. Come on, y'all. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Last Tuesday was our last day on phobias. It was very good. And it was an exercise to help you when you're confronted with fear. It's a great exercise.
if you can look it up on YouTube, look up last Tuesday night's Bible study, and it's an exercise to help you when you're being overwhelmed with fear. Maybe, just maybe, I might just use it as a Sunday morning. Just let it be the Sunday morning message. And maybe just let it be the one coming up this week. I don't know. I got to ask. I mean, the Lord hadn't shown me yet, so that may be it. But remember, look at that. Remember the story I told you last week? Some of y'all weren't here to hear it. Simon the Cyrene, true story, was asked by a historian, what did he think about carrying that cross that day? And he said, I don't know why. He said, I just got into the city, I looked, and I didn't know why a good man who had done no wrong was being treated like this. And he said, I didn't want to carry that cross. They made me. They threw me under it. And as I got up underneath it, I had to carry it to Calvary's Hill. And they asked him, would he do it again? And Simon the Cyrene said, 1,000 times, yes, I would do it again. Only one exception. And they said, what's that? He said, I'd carry the cross 1,000 times. But here's the exception. He said, I had the cross. I reached down and I picked up the cross on this shoulder and said, Jesus grabbed me on this shoulder. He said, with tears in his eyes and blood all over his face, he said, he grabbed my shoulder, and I carried Jesus on one shoulder and the cross on the other. And he said, I would do it again with this knowing that, listen, he said, I felt the weight of that cross is between 100 and 300 pounds. He said, when I got up underneath it, I felt it. He said, as soon as Jesus grabbed this shoulder, the weight of the cross went away. He said, I'd carry it 1,000 times again as long as the cross was on this shoulder and Jesus had his hand on that shoulder. Wow. Wow. God's got this. God's got this. Oh, come on. God's got this. Yeah. God is awesome all the time.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in this your house today. Lord, as we go forth, let us remember that the crosses that we have to bear prepare us for what's coming in the future and pave the way for our trip to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.